If you're looking to whet your appetite for engaging and informative talk radio, the lineup at the Fantasy Sports and Politics Network has exactly what you need. Shows like The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, Time Out with women's basketball legend Sylvia Crawley, Compassion Dakini, hosted by Kim Fung, No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor, the FSP Crew Show with co-hosts Jerry, Black, and the Joker, and the Fantasy Sports and Politics Show, all focus on the hot topics in sports, politics, and in life. By visiting fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com, you'll gain great insight into each program and host, access to the show's archives, as well as outstanding articles, photos, and a whole lot more. As well, because of its large and steadily growing following, fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com is a great place to advertise. Stop by today at fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety.
Tell me what you want, tell me what you see, where you wanna go, what you wanna be. If you have a dream, you can make it there with a lot of work and a lot of prayer. If you take your time, gotta be precise, gotta have a plan, double check it twice. Wait, hold up, slow down, devil need advice. Someone's gone before, maybe talk to them, then after you do, go and talk to him. Great, it's gonna come, maybe not tonight, take your time today, future's looking bright.
Got a lot of friends, made a lot of ends, Twitter, you the trend, name a Bentley Benz, but you're moving kind of fast, keep sweating. You gotta make it last. Live every day like it's your last, but don't forget to have a blast.
Don't let this moment, don't let it pass you by. Don't let this moment, don't let it pass you by. Time keeps moving on and it's never rewind. Don't let this moment, don't let it pass you by.
Welcome to Time Out. I am your host, Sylvia Crawley Milbury. And first of all, I want to thank everyone for, especially those who participated in the live Twitter chat with Monarch Magazine. We did that on Thursday, and we still have a few more of those chats to go. I will keep you filled in on my Time Out Facebook site, so stay tuned and check up on our site. Tonight, I'm going to mix it up a little bit, and I want to hear from you, our listeners. So in just a second, I'm going to open up the lines for you to share your timeout moments. Now, keep in mind that a timeout moment is that period of time where you are forced to pause, assess the situation, correct some things, regroup, and resume with an opportunity to perform better. Basically, it's your testimony. I believe that everyone has a story to tell, and I believe that you can learn something from anyone. Now, if you're out there, don't be shy. You were able to pass the test and that you went through so that you could share your testimony or your story with others who may not be as strong as you. There's someone somewhere who can relate to your story, no matter how trivial you think it is. And by sharing your story tonight, you will not only give someone encouragement, but they won't feel so alone in their walk. So I challenge you tonight to be a blessing to someone else that so desperately needs someone to share their story and someone who's going through something similar. So you have 5 minutes. I want you to start by saying, my timeout moment happened when? And then you just share your story and then explain to us how you felt at the time and then end with the lesson that you learned or even still learning. So don't feel like you have to have a happy ending. This could be something that you're still currently going through, okay? So we're gonna open up the lines, and I'll get the ball rolling. I'll share my timeout moment just so that you can hear an example, and it'll spark an idea for you to share your timeout moment. I had a situation where I was coaching last year. We had a very young team. We had a bunch of freshmen and sophomores, and we knew as a staff that it was going to be a rebuilding year for us, and that, you know, we would take a few lumps across the head, but, you know, by the time the season end, our team would be very seasoned, and our players would be good for years to come. And so we rolled up our sleeves and we just put in a lot of hard work. And so I found myself working 12 hours a day. And, you know, the coach's life is very strenuous and brutal. It's very stressful. You're traveling a lot. You're eating fast food out of an airport. You only get $10 for lunch and $20 for dinner. So that only pays for fast food, you know. And so, so in March of 2012, I was diagnosed with an aneurysm on the right side of my brain. And this was my timeout moment. This was the moment that made me pause and say, whoa, okay, let me, you know, assess the situation and see what's going on. The doctors were saying that I needed to eat healthier, I needed to drink more water, I needed more rest. I was having severe migraines, and what was triggering the migraines were whistles blowing and yelling and the lights, the lighting in the arenas or in my office. And so, you know, he said, you're going to have to back away from some of these things. Well, as a coach, there's no way I can get around that. You know, there's going to be whistles blowing. If it's not my own, it's the referees. You know, and the way referees call, make calls in our conference, you know, that was every 2 seconds. And so, you know, I couldn't avoid yelling because I have to scream out the plays to our point guard, call out the defenses. You know, we have fans in the stands. They're cheering as loud, so I had to scream over the fans, you know. And so I had to make a decision, you know, and I decided to resign from coaching. It was a very, very difficult decision for me because of the players that I recruited there. You know, I wanted to see them through. I knew that I believed that they were going to be good players, you know, and I wanted to, you know, be there when the light bulb went off for them. And so that was a time where I had to correct some things and regroup, and now I feel like I have another opportunity to get it better. Your health is something that is hard to get back once it goes. And so now, today, I eat better. My husband is on a diet, and so we eat healthier foods than what I'm used to eating. I get more rest. We go to bed at 10 o'clock every night, so I am fully rested in the morning. Sometimes, you know, I want to stay up later, but it's better for me. The lifestyle that I'm living is better. I get more rest. I'm eating well. So it's just, it was a timeout moment for me, and I get a chance to resume with an opportunity to perform better. So that's my timeout moment. I'm going to open up the lines right now. We have Mr. Hurd. Are you there? 404 area code.
Yes,
Mr. Hurd, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Do you have a timeout moment that you want to share with our listeners?
Yes, I do. I don't know how much time I have, but...
You got 5 minutes, Hurd.
Oh, shoot. Well, I can't be in my presentation mode, huh?
No.
Well, thank you so much, Carly, for inviting me on the call. I got the text message today. I said, yep, I'll be on there. Let's see. Let me read my text. It says, okay, my timeout moment happened when me and my wife separated. And me and my wife, we have four lovely daughters that are now 10, 6, and 4. We just closed on our house this weekend, so, you know, thank God for that.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But, yeah, we separated about a year ago. No, about a year and a half ago. We were just going through some things. We met when we were very young, had a lot of kids really fast, and things are just crazy. And I don't think our mindsets were kind of together, so, you know, we're doing a lot of blaming, but that moment right there let me know that something had to change, and I learned that, you know, everything that happens in the family starts with the male, you know, from, and then it comes to the house, you know, he has to be the covering, and then his head needs to be Jesus, so I had to, you know, make some changes, and made some changes, started reading those books we talked about, Every Man's Marriage, Every Man series that me and you talked about, and those books really helped because it wasn't just me who had gone through this kind of situation. So instead of running from it, I corrected it, and so during that time, I felt, you know, not like a husband, not like a father, you know, especially being an African American male. You know, the black family is falling to bits, and I wasn't going to be one of those statistics. And so I corrected it. I asked for help. I prayed a lot and asked my wife for forgiveness. And now I believe that the lesson I learned is that I can't do everything by myself, that my wife has to be my partner, and she's not against me, and she's a phenomenal woman. But that was my timeout moment in my life to kind of put some things that I had let get in the way of our marriage. And I'm not afraid to say, you know, that flirtatiousness of my character, I had to subside that. And it was a low point in my life, almost to like life ending low points in my life. And it rooted back to some things that I hadn't dealt with, you know, passing my mother when I was 17, and just some things I hadn't gotten to that affected my relationship with my wife. And I'm definitely glad that was my timeout moment. But today we're doing well. You know, like I said, just closed on the house. I have a part-time business that I do outside of work, and it's flourishing, and you know, my girls are doing well. So that's my timeout moment.
Well, thank you so much, Herb, for sharing that. Can you tell our listeners the name of the book that you read again?
It's called, the one of the books is called Every Man's Marriage. The other book is called Every Man's, oh, come on, Carly, help me.
I can't remember.
Every Man's, oh, Lord, oh, what is this book called?
Well, we'll come back to you later while you think about it.
Yeah, come back to me in about 10 minutes.
Every Man's Battle, maybe?
Every Man's what?
Battle?
There it is. Every Man's Battle.
Okay. There it is. Thank you so much, Marlon, for sharing that story with us. We hope that you will continue to listen to the show. And if you have another moment that you want to share, just press 1 and we'll come back to you. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Darlene,
yes.
Are you there? 773,
I am here.
Are you there?
Yes.
Hi, do you have a timeout moment to share with our listeners?
I do, Sylvia. My timeout moment started, I have a couple of them, but I'm going to talk about this one first because it happened when I was younger. And as a real estate broker, that's what I have done most of my life. I started out in the city of Chicago with a company that was not a large company, but the broker that owned the company, he was very knowledgeable, and I was so excited, and one of the reasons that I really wanted to be a broker was so that I could spend more time with my daughter. And this man took me under his wing, and everything he told me to do, I did it, even walking the streets and, you know, knocking on people's doors, and, you know, I just put myself out there. So I had a very positive attitude, and I would come into the office the next day, and I would be positive and that kind of thing. And, well, what happened, I began to grow, and I began to list and sell and close properties, and there were, especially I can think of this husband and wife team that were in the office, and they were tops for years. They had been doing it for a long time. Well, within a year and a half, I had passed them. But what happened, my positive attitude didn't go well in the office. In fact, it didn't even go well with the broker owner. He called me aside, and he said that there was no way that anybody could be that positive every day and come in smiling every day.
Wow.
And I really just didn't understand that, and that really hurt a lot. So I continued to work there, but then I began to think, maybe I need to change. And that's exactly what I did. I decided that I wanted to go out into the suburbs. I decided that I wanted to go to a larger office. In fact, it was a very large office that only had one other African-American in that office. And everybody there were tops. They produced everything. It was one of the top offices. So I didn't have the numbers that they had. So I sat back and I thought about it, and I made an appointment with the broker owner of that company, and I talked my way in. I just told him that I could do it, and I felt that I could do what his agents were doing. And I guess my attitude, he hired me. Well, what I did the same thing that I did when I was with the smaller office. I began to copy off the people that was in that office, and I transferred it into my personality. So I even prospered in that office, too. I went into the six figures, and what happened, after I corrected some things, I went on, and I was able to pick up clients from McDonald's. And all of their reload people that came to the south suburbs, they were given to me. And it just bloomed. So I really did do well, and that was the first timeout moment that I can think of that I had.
Wow. So you basically needed to get to a place where they appreciated your gifts. You
absolutely.
Know, you had a positive attitude.
And just to understand me, just treat me as a person. But they said nobody comes in, you know, that positive. And when I left that office, the broker owner told me, you're not going to make it. You're going to fail because you are black and you're just not going to make it. And it turned out he was wrong.
Wow. Wow.
And I did very well. In fact, I saw him not too long ago at a barbecue, and he said, so you're still doing it. Well, I'm not with any office. I've opened up my own office in my home, and it's called DSW Realty, and I don't do nearly the numbers that I was doing there. And, well, I'm older now, and that's okay with me. But mm-hmm. at least I have just some money just trickling in somewhat.
Wow.
So that was my first timeout moment that I could think about.
Well, thank you for sharing your timeout moment, and I'm glad that you are at a place where you can be positive and you're appreciated for who you are. So stay true to who you are, Darlene.
I am. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling in.
Okay.
We have another caller. Miss Cunningham, are you there? Miss Cunningham, are you there?
Can you hear me, Phil?
I can hear you. Do you have a timeout moment to share?
I have a thousand of them. No, I have a couple, but I just want to talk about one in particular.
Okay, you got 5 minutes. You got 5 minutes, Ms. Cunningham.
5 minutes, my 5 minutes, or 5 minutes, real 5 minutes?
You got a real 5 minutes to say it.
Okay, so my timeout moment came back in 2007 when I was faced with the biggest loss of my life. It was when my mom was diagnosed with emphysema, and I was losing the only person that I thought, you know, knew me and spoiled me to the end of time, you know. And it came to a point, and I think I shared this with you, Phil, because I remember you telling me when I was by my mom's bedside while she was dying, I began praying for, like, her life. And I just start praying. And all of a sudden, the gift of tongues had came over me. Now, you know, growing up in Zion, I've always known what tongues, speaking in tongues was, but I never experienced it for myself. And then I told you what happened, and you told me, Ree, that was the most sincerest prayer you ever prayed to, you know, God for anything. But unfortunately, I lost my mom, and that wasn't the lesson I learned in it. But what I learned in it, that no matter what I was doing or how long or bad things that I thought I was doing, God still heard me no matter what. And even though she died, the love and the comfort that he had given to me, I have never, ever experienced in my life. You know, just like no one. I thought at that time I felt so alone. No one could understand, but he did. To pass that on forward, knowing that I carry him with me and he carries me wherever he goes, I've learned to not fear anything. I was 29 at the time, never knew how to drive, got my driver's license because it was a fear, but I knew if I could overcome losing my mom, I could overcome anything that was put in front of me. So that was my timeout moment, taking a big girl pill and learning to grow up and allowing Christ to move in my life and to be the best thing and the best friend that anybody could ever have.
Timeout.
Wow. I just want to inform the listeners that Miss Cunningham is my god sister. Her name is Rosetta, and I've just been able to see the growth. You know, I was there with you through that whole ordeal when your mom passed,
right.
And I know you felt like you couldn't make it without her, but you're doing it, and you're a terrific mother to your children, and you are exactly like your mom, Carol. So everything that she's taught you, you held on to it, and now you're passing it to your children, and you're adding to that blueprint of parenthood. You know, you're going above and beyond, which is what your mom would have wanted. So I think she's very proud of you right now. I think she's smiling on you for taking these steps and being so courageous. And you are not alone, Ree. You know, you have our family. You have the whole Steubenville community who still loves you very much. So thank you for having the courage to share your story, because I know you were one of the ones who felt like, you know, you're still going through it, so you were waiting on your happy ending to share it. But let this be liberty for you in sharing your story, okay?
All right. Thank you, Sylvia. Add to that.
All right. Love you.
No, I was and monetary value or a status that I am very, very blessed and successful because I know God. I truly, truly know Him. You know, that's priceless.
Right.
You know.
Well, good.
Next time I'll phone the girl.
All right. If you have another timeout moment to share, just press 1. Love you, Ree.
Love you, too. Proud of you. Bye-bye.
All right, we are going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back with more timeout moments. So if you didn't get a chance to share, stay tuned. Hang on, we'll be right back.
If you love sports, you're in store for a treat. Every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can tune into The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. The Master Plan features
a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of NBA, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything. And this is The Master Plan.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Master Plan. Information, motivation, variety.
We are back with Time Out. And this is Sylvia Crawley. We have our listeners sharing their timeout moments. And so I want to reiterate that a timeout moment is that period of time where you are forced to pause, assess the situation, correct some things, regroup, and resume with an opportunity to perform better. With that being said, we're going to keep moving right along. We have a 614 number. Miss Monica, are you there? Monica, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Yes, we can hear you. Do you have a timeout moment to share with our listeners?
I do have a timeout moment. My timeout moment happened when I took a job that I knew I shouldn't have taken. And I'll kind of put it into perspective. It was a period of time in my life when the previous year before, I had worked a different job, really good job, and decided to leave that job and start my own business. And in the meantime, when things, you know, weren't going quite as well with the business, or what I thought, when I panicked and thought things maybe weren't going quite as well, I immediately started to just look for like a kind of a secondary job to kind of help sustain the business. And when I say, I mean, normally that would probably be a good thing, but when I say it, I knew, like, right when I looked at that job, I seen that job, something, like, my instincts told me, you know, don't, like, just wait, just hold out, do not take this job, this isn't the job for you. But I started looking at my finances, and I was thinking, well, I started going down, you know, budgeting the money, and I'm thinking, okay, in a period of time, now I want to have this extra cushion. So I took this job. And I kept having, like, even along the way, there were steps. So even when I went to the interview with the lady looked at me and said, are you sure you want this job? I mean, this is, like, potentially a job making three times less than what you're used to making. It just doesn't seem like this would be, you know, a job that you would be interested in. And I'm sitting there, oh, yeah, absolutely, no problem, I understand, you know, and all in the back of my mind saying, knowing that I shouldn't be taking this job. So anyway, I can tell you how I felt. At the time, I took the job. The job was the worst job ever. I won't say the company name, but I will say basically what I did was go out to people's houses, and the location to where you went was generated, like, by a computer, and what you were doing was, you know, potentially getting them to sign up to have their television monitored, basically. But anyway, so I would end up in places, I mean, I don't want to offend anybody, but I would end up in places that were, you know, 2 hours from where I live, out in the sticks, down a dirt road. I mean, you know, just places that when you get to the end of the road, there would be this one house. It basically looked like a shack. I'd be knocking on the door, and I'd be turning around looking, thinking, you know, no one would even find me out here if something were to happen. I mean, I'm just knocking blindly on people's doors. I would go into houses that were just, I went into this one house. The woman had chickens. She had five dogs.
What?
Vomit on the couch, a fly strip hanging over the table, like just all with flies, and it was all in the same trailer house, and, you know, going through the people's house, she said, oh, well, go ahead and have a seat and sit down, and I was thinking, oh, my gosh, I can't even sit down on this, but anyway, I just got to the point where I knew I should have never taken that job, but I panicked, and instead of, like, even when I prayed, like, God answered me and said, don't panic, trust me, do not take this job. But I ignored it. I ignored the voice, and I took it. And I just got to the point where I was feeling so desperate, so dejected, just miserable. I mean, I can't even tell you that literally I stopped my car on the side of the road and literally cried out to God. I mean, cried out, full-blown tears, full-blown crying, and full-blown screaming, like, to God, please, please help me, please help me. And, you know, I guess the lesson that I learned on that, and after I did that, and after I humbled myself and I said, Lord, I will trust you. Like, I have nothing else right now, but I have to trust you. I will trust you. I will trust you. Like, I'm leaning and depending on you. I got into my word. I started drawing on my relationship. And lo and behold, I got a phone call, and here it was, another job that came to me that rescued me. But I guess I want to say my lesson for that was just, I know how people say, like, oh, you need to wait on the Lord, you need to wait till you hear the voice of the Lord, you need to, and a lot of times you think, well, I can't be waiting, I mean, you know, if my money, I think if I need money, or if I think I got to, you know, kind of take things into my own hand to try to make things happen, and I can tell you that I truly learned from that experience to wait on the Lord, and even when things, and to trust God, and even when things look bad, like, even when things look like, you look like you're not going to make it, to just take that time to just trust in God and to just really lean and depend on Him, and He will see you through. And and since then, you know, two other opportunities, other opportunities have come since then too. And each time now, I've had two different jobs since then. And both of those jobs were not jobs that I went looking for. They were jobs that somebody called me up on the phone and said, hey, want you to come work for me. Here's an opportunity. Both excellent opportunities. So I have truly learned that even when I, like, in situations where I start to get frazzled, and even in little everyday life things, it's a struggle. It's definitely a struggle to learn to trust God and to really lean and depend on it. And I'm not there yet. I'm not all the way there yet. But I always think back to that job. I mean, basically, I'm saying it was just the worst job. But when I think about that, and at least for me, and that was a very, you know, down time in my life, I just think of the way God answered my prayers. Like, when I just humbled myself, just cried out, and just fully said, leave me, like, you know, take me where you want me to go, and He answered my prayers.
Wow. It reminds me of a post that I just put on Facebook that says, never make a decision based on what you are going through at the time or how you feel. Make a decision because it's right or wrong. And so you're saying what your lesson was from this is trust God and wait on the Lord. And I think a lot of times, especially when it deals with money, we feel mm-hmm. like, well, okay, Lord, I don't have all day. You know, they want to know if I'm going to take the job or not. They got other people to hire. So, you know, we jump the gun because of something that we want so bad, you know. But, you know, what you're saying is just trust God and wait on Him.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you so much for sharing that timeout moment with us, Monica. I think there are many people on the call who can relate to that story. So thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's see. We have Pam. Pam from area code 813. Are you there, Pam?
I am here.
Thank you for waiting. Do you have a timeout moment to share with our listeners?
It's so funny. It's very similar to Monica, your last call.
Tell it anyways. Tell it anyways.
Right. My timeout moment happened when I was in my car, and I'm just elated because I have this job where I'm able to travel, and I'm feeling, like, ecstatic that I can do what I want to do in so many ways. And so I'm driving in my car. It's like February here in Tampa, and the weather is beautiful. And I have my sunroof open, and I'm like, I have a good life. My job is good, and I'm just, like, have this big ego thing going on. And I'm in the fast lane, and I'm doing, like, 70. And there's a car, not a car, but there's a truck, like, 10 cars away from me telling me to go to the right. I'm like, why would this truck be in the fast lane? It was a service truck telling me to go to the right. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm about to die. So I looked to my right to pass, and I saw a car by me. I'm saying, well, I'm not going to take no one else out with me. I'm just going to have to pretty much hit this car. And for some reason, I was able to go to the right and made it through. And I'm sweating profusely. I'm, like, shaking. I'm like, I just almost lost my life. And it was a timeout moment for me because I always felt that I had to be in control. Control of relationships, control of situations in life, and not realizing that I need to trust and believe in God and know that He's in control. And so I realized that day to release, let it all go, and put it in God's hands because He knows the plans He has for me. No matter how much I plan, how much I prepare, how much I think I know it all, it's time out for that, and I must trust and believe in God.
Wow, what a testimony to share. So basically, you're not in control. God is in control. So release and let it all go. And God knows the thoughts and plans He has for you.
Amen.
Whoa, that was powerful. Thank you, Miss Pam, for sharing your timeout moment.
Thank you.
Hopefully, you'll continue to listen to the others. If you come up with another timeout moment, press 1, and we'll put you back on. Thank you. Jada, we have Jada from area code 201. Jada, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, Jada. Do you have a timeout moment to share?
Yeah, I have one that's pretty recent. This weekend I had a visit from a very good friend of mine, and she usually helps me put some things in perspective with my life and some things that's going on. And this weekend I've just been very uptight about a lot of things. A lot of different things have been changing in my life, and I'm not in control, and that's why I've been freaking out. So my friend, you know, brought something ahead to me and said to me, you know, when I get in certain situations, I become hostile. And I said, I understand that, and I'm really working on trying to, like, I feel myself becoming hostile. And I'm trying to work on how to get through life without always being hostile or taking an angry route. And it was just a timeout moment just to see how God brings somebody to me to show me where, whereas before I really didn't, I don't think I wanted to see it, But I was presented with it, the timeout with, hey, you have to calm down. You have to calm down. You can't go through life always angry and trying to get through situations and being hostile to people when things don't go my way. So it was a very interesting timeout moment this weekend, and I appreciate my friend for bringing that to light to me.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. My mom often shares with me that you can get so much more done just being pleasant to people, you know. So this is my mom's rationale behind things. If fussing and screaming is going to change the situation, then by all means she's going to fuss and scream. But if it's not going to change the situation, then she's not even going to go there. You know, so for example, if her luggage gets lost, if screaming at the people in the, let's say she flew Delta and she went to the Delta baggage claim office, if screaming at that lady is going to bring her luggage back, then she'll probably scream and get her luggage back. But that lady didn't lose her luggage. So screaming at that lady is not going to solve the problem. And so that is her rationale. That's her thought pattern behind whether how to handle different situations. And so I think that you can get so much more done just by being positive and pleasant, because normally it's not that person's fault. So, Jada, if you think about where you work at, if people came to you screaming at you, and it's not your fault. Screaming at you is not going to help them get anything done faster, you know. But if someone comes and they're more pleasant to you and they have a sense of humor about the situation, you're more likely to really go out of your way to help that person, more so than a person that is handling in a very hostile situation. It puts you in a certain posture to retaliate.
Yes.
So thank you for sharing that with our listeners, because that's something that we all, including myself, can always work on. So thank you.
No problem.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with a few more timeout moments in just a minute.
For a roundup of the week's events, interviews, and a whole lot more, tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the FSP Cruise Show, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Here's a sample.
We have Mr. Stephen A. Smith. Hello, Stephen A. I'm glad to, this is Jerry, your host, along with my co-host Black and Jeff on here. Glad to,
What's up, fellas?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on, Stephen?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The FSP Crew Show. Information, motivation, variety.
You are listening to Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. We have some listeners sharing their Time Out moments, and we're hearing some incredible stories. We heard Mr. Hurd say that he couldn't do it alone. He had to ask for help, and he was able to rekindle things in his marriage. We heard Darlene talking about being true to yourself and keeping her positive attitude, and things worked out well for her. We're going to listen to a few more Time Out moments. We have a 740 number. Are you there? 740-274? Hello, are you there? Okay,
I think we lost them.
All right, Vic, now that you're speaking, you want to share your timeout moment? Vic's our producer, everyone. He is the person that is working the switchboards and working the chat rooms behind the scenes and playing music and different things. So, Vic, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you have a timeout moment to share with our listeners?
I have many, many timeout moments, and I'll be more than happy to share one with the listeners out there. Mine is a little more traumatic, in the sense that I almost lost my life about a year ago, literally and figuratively. I don't know if I told you the story still or not, but I was stationed in Germany last year around this time, and I was actually coming back to the States around this time. But February 12th of last year, let me explain. I was otherwise healthy, you know, except for a little bad knee or whatever. But February 12th, I was at a birthday party at an indoor facility in Germany with my kids and their friends, so playing with them, things of that nature. And running around with the kids, running away from them. And I don't know if you've ever seen, like, a big indoor jungle gym with the nets and the slides and the balls and the bags and stuff like that. Well, that's where I was. Mm-hmm. So I'm running away from the kids, and I'm cutting to make a left turn towards the jungle gym area. And I see a net. I'm like, okay, well, I can't go through that. So I make a snap decision to make another left, because out of my peripheral, it looks clear. Well, long story short, it wasn't clear. It was like a very mesh and fine net, and I smacked my face, slam into it. Felt like I hit the top of my head, but turns out it wasn't top of my head. It was the right side of my face, and I collapsed. And about, I don't know how long it was, maybe 4 or 5 seconds. And when I came to, I couldn't feel my body. I could only see my my left index finger twitching. I had no control over it. I had no control over my body whatsoever. Could not feel anything. And the kids are standing above me thinking, you know, I'm playing or whatever the case may be, and they're laughing and smiling. And I tell them, go get my wife and go get their father and, you know, tell them I'm kind of hurt. So the guy comes over. My friend comes over, and I tell him to let the kids go play because I can't feel my body. And, you know, told him to go away for a little bit. And I couldn't feel my body for a good hour. I was a quadriplegic for about an hour. They called the paramedics and stuff like that. And then when the paramedics got there, I started to get a little sensation back in my body. It felt like my body was actually on fire when anyone touched me. I could feel the hairs, every hair on my body. And this is when the sensation started to come back. And so they put me on the spinal board and stabilized me and flew me into the German hospital, the trauma center. And they discovered that I had a extremely narrow canal running from my head through my body. So narrow that the bone, the skeleton or my neck bones had started to grow into my sciatic nerves. It's been that long. And the German doctors were like, they didn't understand how I could be moving at all because it looks like the bone had been growing into the nerve for quite some time, 5 to 8 years, something like that. It's like they said the fluid from my brain was a slow drip from my brain throughout my body. And if you know anything about science and the way the body works, you need that fluid to flow to be complete, whatever. Long story short, they tell me I need to have this very, very invasive surgery where my whole neck needs to be broken and replaced. So, of course, my wife is panicking. She's having a panic. She actually had panic attacks. She didn't eat or anything like that for like 4 days and, 5 days, the whole time I was in the hospital. And, you know, going crazy and whatnot, worried about me. But I regained my senses and stuff like that, and I was feeling better. But the doctor said that if I didn't have this surgery, that the next time this happens, because I wasn't supposed to recover. They were saying it was a miracle that I recovered. But if I didn't have this surgery and it happened again, there is no guarantee that I would ever recover from it. So anyway, I got their thoughts, and I said, okay, well, let me go talk to the military doctors, the American doctors, see what they say. They concurred with the German doctors, but they said that instead of doing two surgeries, because they needed to come in the front, replace the front, and then go on the back and replace the back. And it's not just one bone. It's the 3, 4, 4, 5, and 5, 6. So pretty much my entire neck had to be replaced. Long story short, the American doctor said, look, I'll go in and we can remove every piece of bone in your neck and then grind it down and replace it with a steel neck, a steel rod neck, and then weld it with the crushed bone. And I said, okay. And they said, well, it's never been really done before, but it's been worked on. So I didn't feel too good about that. And then he said, well, there's another option. We can go in the back and replace, we can break your neck and put hinges on it, door hinges, on these areas. And if that works, we won't have to replace your entire neck. So pretty much I told them I'll do that one. And I didn't tell my wife. I never told my wife about the chances of me surviving this entire surgery. It was actually 50-50 either way. So it was a 50-50 chance that I could have died on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so the day comes for me to have the surgery, and I go in, and it's like a 8-hour surgery, and they end up replacing and putting the door hinges in on my neck. And I have never told my wife this, never, because I know she would still freak out agreeing that I had agreed to do the surgery. But it was a lot of things that took place leading up to that event that said, okay, God gave me so many opportunities, because as I said, for 5-8 years, I'm walking around with like a slow drip of cerebral fluid flowing through my body, and that's not possible. Scientifically, it's not possible. And the fact that he had me come through the surgery was a miracle. And the fact that I recovered quicker than what they anticipated, that, you know, my time out moment came like, okay, I'm a very athletic guy. I love to run. I love to be active. But I can't do that anymore, because if I do, I can probably end up in a wheelchair for the rest of my life. And it changed my thought process on how I want my kids to be. Along with all these brain surgery, I mean, these brain injuries in the National Football League and stuff like that with contact sports, it made me think of all the wild and crazy things I did as an athlete to get where I was. I didn't do any drugs or anything like that, but just throwing my body around and things of that nature. And God maintained my body, or my neck, my muscles in my neck and in my body, so that I could still walk around, even though I wasn't supposed to be. So, you know, it was a crossroads in my relationship with my wife and stuff like that, because, I mean, she really had to be medicated, because she thought that I was really going to be a quadriplegic for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't know what was going on, and I didn't tell her everything because I know how she is. But to be able to walk and talk and do the things I do now, it is a blessing. And I'm be honest, I came back to God yet again from it, because while I was in Germany, I really didn't go to church. For the 3 years, I didn't go to church because I really didn't see a church that I liked or anything like that, but God still kept his eyes on me. So my time out moment was this surgery, because right now, I still got to get checked out 1 year later after it. I had neurosurgery and things of that nature, and it wasn't a joke. I had a seizure on the cutting board, and I mean, I knew that could happen, but that's better than dying. So,
So Vic, tell me, what's the lesson that you learned from your time out moment?
Honestly, I got to appreciate life better with my kids and my family. I mean, when I got injured, I wasn't playing sports; I was running around with them, and I hadn't played contact football in a while, but it showed me that God could protect me even though I wasn't asking for his protection. You know, because we always ask God for stuff. We always ask him for stuff. But we never, or rarely do we thank him just for the simple things in life. The lesson I learned was that even when I'm not serving him the best way that I can, he's always serving me the best way that he feels is possible. And I say he because I'm a male, and I know women might say her or whatever the case may be, but I think God was protecting me and keeping me around and alive so that I can be a testament to somebody or some people and be that that light that people can say, well, you know what, there's a God. You know, based upon what you just told me and the CAT scans and stuff that I show people and the MRIs and stuff, they're like, dude, really? So I learned that a lot. And that's the whole person now wants to talk. So.
Vic, I just want to inform you that that was more than 5 to 8 minutes. And just because you're the producer of the show doesn't mean that you could just take as much time as you want.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. But So your lessons were that even when I'm not serving God, he's still serving and protecting me or us. Miracles do happen. So appreciate life and thank God for the simple things in life. Thank you, Vic.
Yep.
I was just giving you a hard time like I always do, but thank you for sharing that timeout moment with us. I think we have one more. I'm not sure, but there is a 770 number. Are you there? 770 is there, too. Are you there? Did you have a timeout moment to share? 770?
Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Oh, I'm busted, right? This is Lamar.
Hi, Lamar. Do you have a timeout moment to share with us, Lamar?
Let me see. Which one? Shoot, I have 1,000 of them, I guess.
Yes, you do. Lamar's my cousin, you guys, from Texas.
Let me see. Which one? I think my timeout moment is when probably about a year and a half ago, I was going through a divorce in grad school trying to finish up and diagnosed with cancer all at the same time. And I guess for me, it made me stay focused more mentally on everything. It's to the point where everybody that knows me, I always say I don't let anything control my mind or thought process. So my mental repetition of renewing my mind. I think a lot of times we have to renew our minds in order to think positive, in order to get out of our situation and not dwell on, I guess, the negative stuff. I try not to ever dwell on negative and just think positive in everything that I do. So, you know, getting through all that, right now still cancer-free, finished school with grad school with only one B+ out of all grad school and continue to move forward. I think that is a testament to all the prayers and all it's part of the journey. I write a lot, so a lot of things that I go through help me write the things that I write. And so one of the main things that I got out of it is pretty much the journey is just as important as the destination. So everything that you go through in life, you have to go through it in order to achieve what you need to achieve at the end of the day. So you'll have some bumps in the road. You'll have some good times, some bad times. But it's necessary to build the person that you are and that you are to become. That was pretty much, you know. And there's
more.
If I write up Feel Good Tuesday, but anyway.
And I want to encourage you to keep those Feel Good Tuesday emails coming because they make me feel good on Tuesday.
So there will be another one coming called, I think it's my next Feel Good Tuesday moment to be catching your second
next Tuesday. Next Tuesday,
The title will be called Catching Your Second Wind. So I'm just trying to, you know, when I write those things, I have to, you know, feel it has to come to me. So the title came to me, Catching Your Second Wind. So now I'm just praying that the message would come. So, you know, sometimes I have writer block, but anyway. But that was my, I guess, what you call
your timeout moment.
Yeah,
well, thank you so much, Lamar, for sharing that timeout moment with us. We have time for one more timeout moment. Let's see. 740, Angie, are you there? 740, you've got 3 minutes.
Yes. You're going to try
Okay,
me
you
out
got 3 minutes before the show ends. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I think the biggest timeout moment for me was when my mother passed away. She was pretty much my everything. Having a special needs son and needing support, you know, at 15 I had my son, and my mother pretty much supported me financially, emotionally, spiritually, any and every kind of way imaginable. And with growing up, she was the wind beneath my wings. And the biggest part when she passed away is I lost pretty much connection, it seemed to me, to everything. And one thing that I did was I had her on a pedestal, even as far as she had became almost my God, because of the fact if I needed a prayer through, instead of me praying, I'd ask my mom to pray, you know, anything and everything. And when she passed away, it was kind of like, okay, now where am I going to go for prayer? Where am I going to go for this, for that? And I had to pretty much step up, grow up, and build a relationship with God for myself. I couldn't hang on to the coattails of my mother's prayers anymore. I couldn't get a breakthrough because my mother is praying with me, tarrying with me, and, you know, telling me this or that or whatever. So I think that was probably one of my biggest timeout moments, is taking a step back and looking at things once she had passed away. How do I now build this relationship with God? How do I become, whether it was financially responsible, more responsible as a parent, whatever it may be. And, you know, a major lesson to learn just to build that relationship, that one-on-one relationship with God, without having that mediator or that person in between. Well, go pray about it, or come on, let's pray together. So that was a major timeout moment for me.
Wow. So basically the lesson was, you can't hold on to the coattail of anyone else. You have to develop a relationship with God for yourself. That's our time. You are listening to Time Out with Sylvia Crowley. I enjoyed today so much so that we are going to do this again, because I'm sure the word is going to spread and we'll have other people share their time out moments. But I want to thank everyone who tuned in, but I especially want to thank everyone who shared their time out moment tonight. Hopefully your story will encourage someone. And, you know, if nothing else, people feel like they're not alone in their walk. And more importantly, when you share your story, you begin the healing process, and it sets you free. And the layers begin to peel off of you the more you share your story. So thank you for that tonight, listeners. We have the best listeners right here on Time Out. I want to encourage you to continue to visit our Facebook page. It's called Time Out. If you haven't already, go to that page and like it for us. That helps with our sponsorship. But we will see you same place, same time next week. You're listening to Time Out with Sylvia Crowley. This has been quite the experience, and we will definitely do this again. Take a time out.
Tell me what you want, tell me what you see, where you want to go, what you want to be. If you have a dream, you can make it there with a lot of work and a lot of prayer. If you take your time, gotta be precise, gotta have a plan, double check it twice. Wait, hold up, slow down, still gonna need advice. Someone's gone before, maybe talk to them. Then after you do, go and talk to him. Great, it's gonna come, maybe not tonight. Take your time today, just looking right.
Got a lot of friends, made a lot of ends. Twitter, you the trend, team of Bentley Benz. But you moving kind of fast. Keep sweats, you gotta make it last. Live every day like it's your last, but don't forget to have a blast.